So the reading is taken from 1 Peter, chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that. Let me see if you're awake. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good. I just wanted to check that with you all, because there's one thing that sets us apart as Christians from all other people when we look at our world with all of its pain and its weakness. When you don't look at the world like most people do through the eyes of cynicism and despair, the one thing that sets us apart is hope. Hope, which is transformative of life. It's hope that gives us the motivation to not simply live life for the futility of our own self-interest or self-indulgence, the short pleasures of a moment. It's hope that means that we'll never give up on loving somebody, however far they stray humanly away from us, or however wrong they go. Hope means that we'll never give up on love. And it's hope that means that the things that we work for as Christians and live for can't be quantified simply by the amount of money we earn or the amount of fame that we achieve. It's hope that means that however far from the ideal an organization of our work or even of a church may stray, we don't just instantly give up, get out, do something different. Because it's hope that will change your life. Hope that transforms us. And yet this Easter Sunday, it's worth thinking about actually how deep that hope will go. There are going to be moments for all of us here when hope seems hard to hold on to. When a child suddenly or unexpectedly dies in an accident. When a much-loved member of the church is rushed to hospital with some life-threatening illness. We'll all have moments when we'll ask, where's the hope in that? How are we holding on when everybody else has nothing to hold on? How are we still holding on? Now, one of the problems we have when we talk about hope is, of course, that lots of people, what they call hope really isn't hope at all. When somebody says, well, I hope to visit Australia one day, or Hawaii, or somewhere exotic usually, we know what that means. It means I'd like to go, but I really don't think I'll ever get around to it. That sort of hope. In our culture, to hope for something tends to mean to doubt you'll ever see it. You know, I hope I'm going to lose weight, but I'm not going to give up chocolate. So it might be a vain hope. But that's not what we mean as Christians when we talk about hope. Jesus' hope, Christian hope, is depending on something as yet unseen, but that is utterly reliable. Christian hope is knowing what's coming because we trust the promises of someone you love. Now, the Apostle Peter, when he wrote this letter to Christians in Turkey, he wrote to people who were being persecuted for their faith. Some had lost their homes and their livelihood. Some had suffered physical abuse. Others had lost their life. And much like some of our sisters and brothers in Sudan at the moment, South Sudan. And he says, verse 6, that they'd suffered all kinds of grief in all kinds of trials. They knew what it was to have of hope stripped away at a human level. And he's writing because the usual human response to that sort of pressure and persecution and grief would be to ask God, why? Why have you allowed this to happen? Surely faith and hope means I should have some sort of get out of jail free card for this. What's the point of believing in Jesus if our experience of being a Christian is actually that life is harder, that it makes it more of a risk to not just keep our heads down and fit in with what the culture expects? Shouldn't trusting God protect us from life's griefs, not make them harder? So what is the point? And Peter's answer is simply that we have a living hope. When you have a living hope, Jesus' hope, you will begin to find a purpose through the pain. You'll begin to find you can trust somebody through the traumas, somebody who can help in our hurting. And how does that happen? How is there light in that sort of darkness? Well, it happens firstly because this life is not your ultimate life or mine. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, this is the same Peter who was there when Jesus was tortured and crucified to death. He'd seen him die horribly. He'd known the despair of grief. He'd given 3 years to following this guy, and it was all over. And yet 3 days later, today is the way we celebrate in the church, his life was utterly transformed by the one simple event of history. He met Jesus alive. This man who he'd seen completely, totally, utterly, really dead was powerfully, passionately, transformingly alive again. He saw him face to face. He had food with him. He touched him. He realized that this Lord, this Jesus, had done the one thing that no one else, no other philosophy or religion throughout the ages had ever achieved. He'd conquered death itself. The one thing that turns religion into reality is to deliver on the greatest promise you can ever make, to conquer death. And if this Jesus has done that, if that event of history has happened, that this life is not our ultimate one. This, I know it's brilliant here being in St. Mary's, but this is not the best world. This is not your best life. This might be brilliant, but this is nothing compared to the real life that Jesus is purposing for each of us. That changed it. When you realize that this isn't what we're living for, there is something far more glorious beyond this that is our truest purpose. He began a whole new mission, a whole new direction for his life. Jesus is alive, and that means that there is hope for this world. That means there is hope for the worst of us, the weakest of us, the most overlooked. There is hope for those of us who are trying to keep up with everybody else and feeling left out. There's hope for those who are hurting. Hope for those who are in despair and depression. There is hope because Jesus is alive. And because of that moment, this life is not your last life or your best life. Now, to show us that, Peter is really keen to emphasize how this hope is firstly rooted in the past. In God's great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is rooted in an event. Christianity is not an experience, it's an event. It happened. Jesus conquered death. This isn't wishful thinking hope, in other words. It's confidence in a truth. And Peter saw it. It's real. He said, look, I saw him. I touched him. I knew him. Jesus' resurrection shows there is a life beyond this one, and it's in his hands. That's good news. That is good news when you're grieving. That is good news when you're feeling confused about what you're living for. When you've lost your job, You're not sure how you're going to make ends meet. That's good news to know that this isn't your last or greatest life. Death is not the last word on who we are. Jesus, the life giver, has the last word. And that historical event means Christianity is different than every other religion, faith or philosophy. Lots of religions will talk to you about life after death, disembodied souls, get reincarnated, promises of paradise. But none can say, here is what it looks like, because it's happened in history. Christians, we look to the risen Jesus. Forget the clouds and the wings and the halos and the angels. This hope is a real existence in a body that can touch, feel and eat, that can speak and is free to be present personally with God. Jesus' resurrection shows us what life is going to be, if we trust him to give us that life. So he's looking back at the event of the past. But do you notice how much of our hope is living in the light of the future? He talks in verse 4 about the inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. You see, if this life isn't your best life, where is the best life? And Peter's saying the best life is that future one that's coming, when we'll see Jesus face to face, when the true purpose of who we are will be fulfilled, because he will show us. And Jesus witnesses that that future is glorious, lasting, secure, eternal, free of pain and suffering and all of the pressures of this life. That's your real life. That's your best life. That's the one that all of this is getting ready for. Imagine for a moment you're a pure, poor refugee. You've been exiled from a war zone. You're living in a tent. Or even, you know, maybe your spouse has made you go on a camping holiday and you're experiencing the English version of this. You can imagine the difference between living with what's temporary and is falling, failing and is leaking, and having a house. Bricks, mortar and a clear roof over your head. Same body in a different context. Instead of a temporary place that you're passing through, you've got a permanent home. That's what the inheritance is about. When we die, Jesus promises, the one with the power and authority to deliver on this, that in the future, the stuff we're struggling with won't be the reality. The reality will you have an inheritance. And we live that hope by looking back at the historic truth of that resurrection. Here's a life that conquers death. And we look forward to the inheritance. But the good news on Easter Sunday is that it's not just about looking backwards or the forwards. This is for now. This transforms us, because verse 5, it says to him, and this is for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. You may not realize this if you're a guest here today, but what makes this the most exciting place to be a Maidenhead is because Jesus Christ, the living one who's conquered death, has promised to be here tonight. And he is. He's an exalted king who by his spirit is present in those who believe in him. And that means that here, the presence of somebody who conquered death is here. That's what makes this an exciting place to be, because Jesus is doing things. You're going to hear and read the stories of some of them in a minute. He's doing things that are changing lives, and changing them not just for a moment, but changing them forever. That's pretty exciting. Jesus is building something that is changing the world forever. Here in Maidenhead, in St. Mary's tonight, he's doing something that's eternal, because by faith he's present here. Just think about that for a moment. If Jesus can be trusted, that means that no moment of your life or my life will he be absent? Will he forget what you're doing or not care about what you're facing? Every moment of your working life matters, because he's promised to be with you when you're at work. Every moment of your spare time matters, because he'll never leave you in your leisure. But it also means that in the midst of pain and tragedy, he's not looking the other way. He's there with you, with tears alongside, knowing that this world's life is not ultimate, but letting go is painful. No, he said as he prepared for his own death, a tree cannot grow till a seed has been planted and buried. What he was getting at is that, like the Psalms are full of, the griefs of this life are real. The honest expressions of pain in the Psalms, for example. So if Psalm 31 says this, "Be merciful to me, O Lord. I'm in distress. My eyes are weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life's consumed by anguish and my years with groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction. My bones grow weak." Friends, real life hurts. We don't need a hope that pretends it's okay. We need somebody who's with us when it's hurting. In the darkest and deepest moments. Why would you tell God that life is so rubbish? Wouldn't you rather have just fixed it, a quick fix, so we'd only ever sing songs of praise? Well, some people want all the froth all the time. But trust me, it's only so much of a cappuccino you can drink too much and soon get... The frothy bit will only take you so far. No, this is not our ultimate life. So the Psalms are reminding us, God is reminding us that this place needs fixing. You need fixing. I need fixing. There needs to be hope in this life. There needs to be hope through the pain, because this is not your ultimate life. We need a hope that will defeat death. We'll need a hope that goes beyond pain. We'll need a hope that is with us when we're hurting, because we know that what lasts is eternal. Your life, my life, even the lives of those suffering grief or weakness today matters because Jesus is here. He's here in the middle of your depression. You may not feel it, but he will feel it for you, because he knows what your heart is doing. He knows how hard this life is. And his purpose is to redeem us, to buy us out of this. He'll be present in our dying. And those of you here tonight who, you know that cancer is beating you, he hasn't left you. He wants you to live your ultimate life. He wants to be with you. Even as letting go is hard. Trusting the evidence of his power to give us life, and therefore finding the truth about our purpose wherever it takes us. This life is not ultimate. This Easter Sunday, your life now is not your ultimate life. But why does he allow all this? Why go through it as Peter talks about it? Well, he says there in verse 5 quite clearly, that you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. This life is to prepare us for the glory of our life. This life is to get us to open our eyes to what really matters about this life. What really matters about you is not the stuff that you think. It's not how bright you are or how much money you can earn. That doesn't matter a whit. Jesus wants you to open your eyes to realize that you are precious and loved by the God who made you and who rules the universe. He wants you to know that you are loved and that he has laid down his life for you. I mean, Peter's talking to a persecuted church here. It's hard to say find joy in the middle of pain. But what he shows them is that this pain is not the ultimate purpose for your life. There is joy in anticipating the promise, even when it hurts for a moment. Those of you who've had babies will know what I'm talking about. If you're a woman and have gone through labour, why go through the pain? Now, no, they try and knock you out and give you all sorts of other things to try and dull the pain. But the reality is, you can't do it without it hurting. Why suffer the pain? It's because of the promise. Because a child's to be born. You know what I see, and my wife was one of those, who somehow manages to forget how much it hurt and all the pain you went through and does it again and again. I mean, why would you do that? Because this isn't ultimate life, isn't it? Life isn't to be found in the pain, but in the new life that is coming about. Peter's saying that here. He's saying, stop living for stuff that's passing. Stop living for the pain that is you're struggling with. Start living for what's ultimate and eternal. Start living for the life that actually is your best life, the future life that he will give you. The one who has conquered death will conquer your death. And then you'll get to live. Why let us go here? Why not just to a shortcut to heaven? The simple answer is that God is for us. Peter goes on to make the point that testing times, you suffer grief in all kinds of trials, verse 7, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. God allows this life so that we can see most clearly what matters most to you. Just think about it. The real test of whether somebody loves you is not what they do when it's easy, but what they do when it's tough. You know, Christian marriage services have a very famous phrase in it that says you're to marry for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health. You've heard those phrases, haven't you? But nobody really thinks on their wedding day about the worse, the poorer, and the sickness. But they're standing there and they're promising to say, no, my love is enough for this. I love you whatever happens, even if it's hard. And that vow to be faithful in the tough times of life shows the depth of the love that holds you secure in a marriage. And tragically, these days, people don't always keep those promises. But I can tell you somebody who will, the Lord Jesus Christ. He staked his life on it. He's not going to break those promises, and he will keep them in the midst of that darkness. But what you find is, well, what is most valuable? What is more valuable than being loved by God? Well, it's easy to say nothing, but for most of us, we put a whole load of other things ahead of Jesus. There's a whole load of things that you probably live for most of the time that are not about this ultimate death-conquering life that Jesus is bringing. I don't know. Maybe you think promotion is more important because when overtime jobs come up or the extra work that you have to do, you'll miss a Sunday night and go and do that instead, won't you? Or maybe our pleasure's more valuable. I mean, think how much we'll indulge ourselves on those luxuries and those hobbies and those habits compared to how much goes on things that honour God and help people grow in faith. But if you lost your job and you lost all your money, what would be left? Is that it? All you lived for would gone? What lasts will be being loved by Jesus Christ. No one can take that from you. Trials and sufferings may not be easy, but God shows you in those moments what matters and what will last. And this resurrection day that conquering death is being celebrated, you need to know that that life, that promise, that love is more important than anything else you can live for. And in those moments of pain, in those moments of darkness, when everything else seems to be going wrong, there is one light that will never go out. The light of Jesus Christ, shining hope. And nothing can extinguish that light. Not even death can extinguish that light. So stop looking at the other stuff. Look at the place where the light is. Because the glory of your life is not how much money you'll earn, or how much fame you've attained, or how many ticks you make on your bucket list. The glory of your life, its greatest significance and lasting legacy, is the life that Jesus Christ has won for you. That he took your place when you didn't deserve it and could never repay it. That he gives you life that will defeat death forever. So tonight, you've got a choice again. Friends, sorry. You can grasp hope. You can take this hope of new life and trust what Jesus has done and say every moment I'm conscious that the thing about me that is most important is that I've been given a life that will last, a purpose that is eternal, a point to what I'm doing, and it's found through Jesus Christ who will conquer death for me. You can grasp hope or you can doubt hope. You can say, oh, I can rage against the dying of the light. That famous phrase of atheism. In the pain, the despair, the loneliness and the purposelessness of a pointless life. You can choose that if you want. But this isn't your best life. And the thing about hope is there is still a choice. There is a choice tonight. You know, it's not too late to choose to jump in the pool if you want to. Or be confirmed along with the others. However far down the road of darkness that you've been travelling, this light, this hope of new life in Jesus is still shining. Hope can change your life today. Not in a quick fix, I want all my problems sorted sort of a way. But with the real love that we need. Somebody who will never leave us or forsake us. Who'll be there when we're hurting. Who'll be with us when we hope for life. Because our death will be defeated by him. Because our life will find its purpose in him. Because our future will be secured by him. That's hope. Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and gives us a purpose forever. So whatever else you find and enjoy about this service, and I know there's lots still to come, don't leave without hope tonight. Don't leave without putting your trust in the one who alone can hold it. In fact, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd love you to pray this prayer with me. It's not a complicated prayer, it's a simple prayer, really. But it is a prayer to say, I want to make this hope my life. To start living for what lasts. To stop focusing on what will be futile in the end. But to put my trust in Jesus again. And whether you've been a Christian for years or whether you're actually just doing it for the first time today, maybe you'd like to echo this prayer in your heart. So let me pray. You might want to close your eyes. Just have a think about this. What am I here for? What am I living for? What is the hope of my life? And if you've heard Jesus speaking to you tonight, make this your prayer. Just echo it in your hearts. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have promised me hope. I am forgiven through your death for me. I have a future through your resurrection life in me. I have a purpose through your presence always with me. Please fill my life with your hope and let me live from now on for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you've never prayed a prayer like that before, don't worry, there are others who are in the same boat with you. But the Christianity Explored course that you'll hear talked about in the church here, 12th of May, I think, or 10th of May, can't remember, one of the two. 12th of May, on Wednesday in May, is a great way just to come. Nobody will put you on the spot and make you embarrassed or anything like that. It's a chance to say, look, is this real? Whatever questions you have, it'll take you there, where you begin, and ask the reason for the hope that you have. So just have there'll be something that'll advertise it for you, I'm sure it all will be there. But do mention that hope. And that's what we're celebrating. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.